see everyone out this evening. It's always wonderful to come together and study, to worship. We're so grateful for those who are visiting with us this evening. Happy that you are here. Always grateful. You are, just by being here, an encouragement to me, and I know to the brethren here, for your willingness and desire to come and study God's Word, and we're grateful for that. We hope that we are encouraging to you as you are with us. We hope that you feel that everything that we do as we go through our worship is in accordance with the Word of God. And we ask that if you feel that anything has been done or that is said throughout the lesson this evening, go against the Word of God. Bring that to our attention. We'll be happy to talk that over, study the Word of God, and make sure the truth is being taught. This evening, I decided to go forth and talk about Noah and the Ark. I felt like it's been a while since I myself have brought out a lesson that is mainly focused on what all took place there with Noah and the Ark and seeing how it can apply to our lives today. So I decided to go ahead and bring out a lesson talking about Noah and the Ark. It's I believe, a decently common or known, let's put it that way, decently known part of the Word of God. This is something that we teach to our children. It's something that they start to learn at a young age. It's a wonderful story about the power of our God, how He can save. It's an example of obedience, and it's just a lot of good points through it. And this evening, I plan on bringing out a few of those points. So again, I ask that you open up your Bibles and follow along. This evening, as we take a look at Noah and the Ark, I plan on looking at it and asking questions to ourselves, to me, to yourself, and asking how are we doing the same thing that Noah did. Are we prepared like Noah was? And so, to start off with, will you be found righteous in a world of sin? Will you be like Noah, being one of the entire world, and being one that finds grace in the sight of God? In Genesis chapter 6, if you want to open your Bibles there, Genesis chapter 6, we'll start there in verse 1. Genesis chapter 6, looking at verse 1. It says, "Now it came about, when men began to multiply in the face of the land, the daughters were born to them. The sons of God saw the daughters of men beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his day shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward. And the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. And they were mighty men of the old and renowned. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent and thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from the man to animals, the creeping things to the birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made him. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These were the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. As we take a look again, we're six chapters into the Word of God. And this is what he has to say about the world. God goes forth and creates mankind, puts them in this beautiful garden, and then they fall short. So they were cast out of the garden. And from that point on, their own children, the first children that lived up on this earth, are raised, and one ends up killing his brother. And then as people multiplied upon this earth, it seems that men just continue to go down a corrupt way. And so here, as God looks at the world, he looks at mankind, it grieves his heart. He is upset with mankind in the way that they have chosen to go. And it says of one person finds grace One person doesn't bring out that walk with God. Again, we know in a point that I'll bring out here in just a moment, that his family is saved with him. What I ask is, we take a look around the world today. How evil and corrupt the world is. What? And again, it's a hard thing to sit back and say, what do you think God's mindset is now? No one wants to put themselves in God's shoes. God is the only judge. He is truly our God, and we don't have a right to say who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. But as we take a look around the world, we take a look around our own community, and we ask ourselves, what is God saying about the world today? Is he looking down at the world and saying the same thing here, that mankind has grieved his heart, that he is sorry that he has made man, that he has continued to allow us to walk upon this earth, that he is setting that time to destroy the world? And then the question comes, where do I line up with the rest of the world? Will he find me righteous? Will I be one that is considered faithful in the service of God? In Matthew chapter 13, if you will. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 47. Matthew 13, and looking there, and in verse 47, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast in the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it is filled, they drew it up on the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of age that the angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous, and will throw them into the furnace of fire, into the place that will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood these things? They said to him. Here he gives us an example that in the end, God will separate the righteous from the wicked. God, in Genesis' time, in Noah's time, he went forth and saved Noah. Noah found grace in the sight of God. He destroyed the world. He destroyed the people that lived on the world. He punished them all. They were separated. And I ask, where will we line up? Where will we be when that day comes? Noah found grace in the sight of God. And I ask, if you consider that, you think, I hope that we can say that I am one that will find grace in the sight of God. That I will be saved on that day. And I believe we can, as we study the Word of God, if we truly study it, we know what the Word of God says, we can have confidence in our salvation. Paul had confidence in his salvation. When he said, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept finished the race, I've kept the faith. Now there is the crown of righteousness waiting for me, right? He boldly made that point. He proclaimed, I finished the race. I kept the faith. I fought the fight. There is a crown of righteousness waiting for me. And not for me alone, but to all who loves his name. Right? To all who accepts the Lord and obeys and keeps his commandments. So we can have confidence. When one is baptized and they're raised up in newness of life, they can have confidence that anything happens to them, that they are going to heaven. But I ask another question. How many will go with you? How many will be going with you? Who is going with you to heaven? Who else will find grace in the sight of God? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. Here it talks about Noah again here in 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 20. Speaking about again how many were saved at this time. And it reads here, it says, who once were disobedient when patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through the water. 8 people. 8 people in the entire world was saved.
And we're told the same thing is going to be the way of the end of time, that only few will find that right path. In Matthew chapter 7, if you will. In Matthew chapter 7, looking there, and in verse 13, as it reads, it says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it, for the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it." Again, if we go by the example of Noah, it tells us a few persons, a few people were saved. That is, eight people in the entire world were saved. That should put us on our toes. That should scare us to the point of examining our lives to make sure that I am in the right, that I am going to be ready when the Lord returns. Because it says a few people will be saved. A few will find this right path. So if you study the Word of God, it's continuously theme that way. It continuously shows us that there are few. When you look at Sodom and Gomorrah, as it is destroyed, you have Lot and his family. Even less, right? Even less are saved from these cities. And even one of them, his wife, who is being saved and is walking out with them, couldn't resist but to turn back and look. It turned into a pillar of salt. So even when you thought someone was going to be saved, they fell short. And so again, that's where I believe we even need to be more cautious as you read Matthew 7 here, because it says few who find it. Find what? Find, I believe it's saying it's few who find the narrow path. How many actually stay on that narrow path? But it's even fewer that are able to remain faithful in the service of God. So as we look at the story of Noah, we ask that question, will I be found righteous? Who will be found righteous with me? Who am I going to lead? Noah led his family. Noah was able to help his wife get on that ark, his sons, and their wives. Are we going to make sure our family is going down the right path? We have neighbors and friends and others that we need to consider who need to be saved, who need to hear the Word of God. Will you obey His command? Will you be found in the ark as Noah was? Noah had to enter the ark. As we go back, if you will, back to Genesis chapter 6. Go back to Genesis chapter 6, and we're not going to read all those verses, but in Genesis chapter 6, and you start in verse 13, he starts to be instructed on all that needs to be done. It says here, "Then God said to Noah, 'The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it the inside and out with pitch. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. The breadth of 50 cubits. The height, 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark and finish it to the cubit on the top. And set the order of the ark aside in the side of it. And you shall make it with a lower, second, third decks." And so here he gives him instructions on how to build the ark. He gives him instructions to take the animals onto the ark, that they take two of every kind of animal and seven of every clean animal, and goes forth a male and its female. And then you're able to read there in verse 21, or verse 22. Verse 22 says, "Thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded him, so he did." Again, chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "Then the Lord said to Noah, 'Enter the ark, and you and your household, for you alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this time.'" In verse 5 says, "Noah did according to all the Lord had commanded him." He was obedient to the commands that God had told him to do. God said, "This is what you need to do in order to be saved. You have to go forth and build an ark." You have to use gopher wood. You have to build it to these measurements. You have to have this many amount of floors. You have to have this big door. You have to have a window. He said, this is the way it's going to be built. This is what you're going to take with you. You're going to take these animals. And Noah did what he was commanded. And then he's told, it is time to get into the ark. You must enter into the ark. And he went into the ark. And I ask the question, will we obey our Lord? Will we do what he has commanded you to do? I mean, if God directly spoke to you, and you said, all right, I know this is the word of God. I know God is telling me to do this. And I understand he's saying that this world is going to be destroyed. And if I don't do what he tells me, then I will not be saved. And so I ask, will you do what he commands you to do? Will you be found in Christ? As Noah was found in the ark. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, if you will. Romans chapter 6 and in verse 3. It reads here, it says, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer has his master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. I ask you, are you in the Lord? He has commanded us and told us what we need to do in order to be saved. As you read these verses, understand it's saying, in order to be put into Christ, as many as were baptized into Christ. This is how you enter into the Lord. We are put into the Lord as we are baptized into him. As you go down into that water, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Believing that in doing this, this is him washing your sins away. And you are raised up in that newness of life. Putting off the old man. Being put into Christ. Becoming a child of God. Having God add you to his church. Add you to his kingdom. Add you to his family. Have you done that? And if you haven't, will you do that before the end? Before that day of judgment? Will you be found in the ark? Here, again, he's told what to do. Noah was told to build the ark. We are told that we need to put sin behind us. Because again, that's you read verse 1 of Romans 6, verse 1, it says, what shall we say? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? We're to repent of our sins. We're to put that life behind us. We're to believe in the Lord. Put that sin behind us. Confess that faith. Be baptized. Wash your sins away. And then walk in newness of life. Walk in Christ. When that time comes, will you be found in the Lord? Those who were found outside of the ark died in the flood. Will you warn others? Will we continue to take the opportunity to warn others as we have this opportunity? It amazes me that as Noah had to take a lot of time to build that ark, that he found time to preach the word. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 5, 2 Peter 2 and verse 5 says, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. As I considered that, I was trying to figure out, I was thinking about Noah preaching. And when did he find time to preach? Because he had a lot of work to do building that ark, preparing himself to enter in, getting all the animals. And I know he had help from God, and I know he had his sons helping him out. And so therefore, but I believe this is probably how he was able to preach the word. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, speaking of, again here, says, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." I believe he was able to preach righteousness because he was the person that everybody was seeing was doing something different. People looked at Noah saying, "Why are you building this big old ship? Why are you building this big boat?" And so he was ready to give an answer for his hope, for his faith. You have to imagine how many people questioned him, how many people mocked him, how many people just came along to see Noah, the man building this giant ark, saying, "What is the point of that?" And he didn't just ignore him. It says here he preached righteousness. He was a preacher of righteousness. He warned others. Do we warn others? Better yet, I ask the question, do we shine enough light of the Lord that we are doing stuff in our lives that causes people to say, "Why do you do that? Why do you have a good attitude in this terrible world? Why are you a hard worker when, you know, we know that you don't get any extra pay, there's no benefit, we know that the boss is rude, and why don't you give in to talking evil about others? Why don't you go out and get drunk with us? Why don't you speak profane words with us?" They notice that you are different. Notice that you stand out. And you'll be able to tell them, "Because I'm in Christ." Be able to point them to the Lord and preach righteousness, ready to give an answer for your faith, to defend what you believe. There are many great examples throughout the story of Noah for each and every one of us, not just for the aliens. Will you be ready for that day? Final question I got for this evening. Will you be ready when the Lord comes? In Matthew chapter 24, and looking there in verse 36, Matthew 24, and looking in verse 36. "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then there will be two men in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be gathering in the mill and one will be taken. One will be left." It says it'll be just like the days of Noah. We will be living a regular day. Kids will be at school. Parents will be at work. Somebody might be at home making a meal, doing the laundry, cleaning up. Maybe we'll be here gathered together, worshiping our God, studying the Bible, singing songs. It'll be a regular day. It's something that has nothing out of the ordinary. And then all of a sudden, people won't know what's going on. Something takes place. And it'll be the end of time, and it'll be too late. It'll be too late at that moment to give yourself over to the Lord. The people during the days of Noah died. They drowned in the flood. They were no more. In the end of time, we will be separated, the righteous from the wicked. I ask, where will you be gathered together, or will you be thrown out? We want to extend the Lord's invitation this evening. The water is what allowed the ark to raise. We go back to 1 Peter 3 and verse 20. We read that verse telling the saints to hold the same. In verse 21, it says, "In the like figure, whereunto baptism does now say, not the putting away filth of the flesh, but the answer of the good conscience through the resurrection of our Lord and Savior." And so, in a similar manner, in the way in which Noah and his family was saved by the water, you can too be saved if you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, by coming forward and being baptized, washing your sins away. And if we can assist you doing that evening, we ask that you come here. Let it be known. Make that confession and put sin behind you. If there's anything else that we can do for you, we let it be known as we stand and sing.